I'll firstly introduce myself. My name's Nathan Fernandez. I'm a technical director at Interpret. Interpret are a professional services firm based down in Melbourne, and we specialise in integration and data solutions. So I spend most of my time doing solution architecture type roles where through the sales and delivery, and so I really get to work in that space of marrying business problems to technical solutions. And this is an area in which this particular session has come out of, and where we've discovered a nice little tool from Microsoft and how it really empowers us to deliver software. I'd like to start the session, though, to frame it, put it in context with a particular problem or a scenario that often happens in software projects. Any particular product that you're building would have certain requirements. Often you might have a performance requirement. I hope you have a performance requirement. Often there is not one set, but you should have one set. And when you have one set, you need to meet that requirement in terms of maybe response times, throughput load, whatever that requirement may be. So you put a design in place, you build it, you start testing it, and you find you kind of fall a little bit short of that target. And you kind of need to meet it, this particular metric, but you're not there yet. And so what is the process of getting your performance of your current code up to where it should be? And so that's kind of the context for today. And not only that, how do we do it efficiently? How do we do it smartly? There's only so much time in a day for a developer. So how do we use that efficiently and get the biggest bang for our buck so that when we're developing code, we're working in the right places, making the right changes, and achieving that performance target quickly? So this session today is mainly based around application insights, and particularly the analytics components, but obviously in the context of building a high-performing API. So we'll show an API, I'll demonstrate how you take an existing API, a web API, how you instrument it. That will be the first demonstration. And the second demonstration will be, okay, we're starting to collect some data now. How can we look at the data? How can we see how the API is performing? Potentially we might find a performance bottleneck in this demo. And then the third demo is, okay, fixing that and then redeploying it and actually solving that performance problem and getting the increase we're looking for. So hopefully we'll actually find a performance bottleneck. Before I start, though, a little bit about Azure Application Insights. It's obviously been around for a while in various preview modes. But I think the key aspect for me is early last year, the analytics component came out. I think it's codenamed Kusto. And it was in preview, and the whole product went in general availability in November. And so I think it's quite a good product. SLA's behind it now, and it's something you should really look at using whenever you're developing code, especially in Azure. So let me just jump straight into a demo. Okay, so here is a really standard web API interface that we deploy into Azure as an API app. The project template I used, I just want to show you what project template I used to create it. So it's just a standard ASP.NET web application using the Azure API app. So it comes with the web API framework, which is obviously a great framework to get up and running really fast when developing REST services. So some of the things I've done, I've added one product controller with two particular methods on it. The first method is just getting the products, and I use it as kind of a test method, so just give me all the products. The second method is adding or updating products. So we want to update products. So this is kind of a products database, a master products database, you might say, where we're kind of reading what that source of truth for all products are and adding to it. Behind the scenes, we're using Entity Framework. So we'll see that there is a, let me try and zoom in. This is kind of the only table we have. And that's kind of pointing to SQL, Azure, and the back end. And you can see there's nothing in that table. So it's a pretty simple web API so far. The other thing I just want to point out, the one other change I made, was I wanted to enable Swagger. So who here is familiar with Swagger? Hands up. Okay, we're all pretty familiar. Pretty advanced audience here. So I'm just enabling that because I want to showcase how we're testing it. So I'm not actually having this crazy load testing tool. We'll use Swagger to do the testing, but we'll still see the same performance measurements, and we can still do the same stuff. So let me just deploy that into Azure. I've got a live demo set up. And so now it should deploy pretty fast. And what I'll do is I'll straight away open up the Swagger UI, and we'll give it a test so that you can just get familiar with the baseline of what we're working with here before we instrument it. Okay. So here's Swagger. Here we go. Just while we're waiting, who's actually who's used Application Insights before? Show hands. Okay. And of those people, who's used the analytics component? So just a few hands in the room. So that's good. So that's really good. So that's the focus of today, the analytics piece. So here's our two functions, two methods that I just showcased in the controller. We'll just check it's working. Obviously, the first time you call it, it's cheating up. It's going to take a little while, but you can see that went okay. And we have nothing coming back because there's actually no rows in that table in SQL. How about we try and add something? Okay, let's add our first product. And we'll shoes. And these are kids' shoes. So I'm going to add it in. Going. There we go. So that looks like we've got a 204 HTTP response, which means it's good, accepted, but with no content. If I go back to this function and call it, we should have this come out now. So you can see that we've got a response here. So this is a fairly simple web API, and it's actually functioning. And if we just call the database, we can actually see that's been added in. So now it's time to instrument this particular web API project. The simplest way to do it from within Visual Studio, because there's a few ways that you can instrument, but I would recommend doing it from within Visual Studio so you get full use of all of the features and maybe potentially get this engaged in your DevOps processes. But I would just go add Application Insights Telemetry. And then I go, and I've got this little wizard. I click Start. It'll then get me to sign in with my Azure account. So I'll say, yes, that's the one. And I want it in that subscription. And I actually have I've actually pre-provisioned an Application Insights instance already. But you can provision one from in here too. So if you wanted to create one on the fly, if you haven't got one yet, you can do it here. Now, the options for configuration, obviously, you can create your own resource group, or you can select an existing one. You can give it the name, and you can show the region. Now, just to note here, there's only four regions that this is currently available in. I don't know if there's actually plans to go beyond those four regions, but two in US and two in Europe. So I'm going to choose our existing one, and I'm going to register it. And you can see there's a little bit of pricing information there. I'll try and zoom in a bit. And it's kind of just telling you a little bit already about what it's going to cost you. So we're kind of defaulting when we create something for the first time to the base plan. I've got a slide on that. I'll show you a bit more about the actual costings of this later. So we've started to add the appropriate packages to the solution. So I'll click finish. And then I also want to enable tracing, which adds one more package. So I'll click on that. And then I should have 100% configured it, which is really quite simple and easy, as you can see. You'll notice here that there's a number of little changes in the project. There's a whole bunch of new references now. or with this Microsoft.ai for application insights. There's the actual config here. And there's some links, actually, to go and do stuff within Visual Studio itself. I could literally start looking at some of the telemetry data coming through, a bunch of stuff. I won't go into all that just yet. We'll go that into a bit later. But already, you can see that a lot has been enabled on the project by not doing very much. The only other thing to call out here is actually when you do this, depending on what version of the SDK of Azure that you have, you may want to just update the packages. So we'll just go into NuGet. And I know that if I update the applicationinsights.web package, that should update all of the necessary packages because of its dependencies. So I'll do that. And sign my life away. And just wait for it. There we go. Okay. So just double check everything's up to date using NuGet. Yep, green, 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 green. I've got the latest versions of all that stuff. I think I'm ready to deploy this now. So I'll choose my live demo web app to deploy to. I'll just publish it. There we go. So while that's going on in the background, I wanted to also talk about other ways of instrumenting your application. So here's one previously deployed that has not been instrumented at all through Visual Studio. But you can actually go into Azure itself, and I guess if in the scenario you've already deployed something and you want to put instruments on it later on, you can do that. So you just kind of come down into here. You can see under Monitoring Application Insights. And this one should show me that I don't have one enabled for it. Well, it has now. That's not quite right. So this is configured. It's not supposed to be. But usually what would happen in here is you'd see that it says it's not configured and do you want to configure it? And you can literally click the button and have it configured. And not have to do a redeployment, which is, I guess, is the important bit because you don't really want that downtime. So I think that other application is deployed. So I do want to give it another test because I actually want to start having a little bit of data flow through to my application insights instance. So I'm just going to do a quick call and say, yep, that's working. And I'm probably going to add another product. So maybe these are adult shoes. Yes, for work. You can see there that's taking a little bit long. It's done. It's added. I might add another one. One more. Maybe black adult shoes. And that is also for work. Okay, so if I go back here and I call the API to get all the products, you can see that stuff we've just added in is sitting there. And obviously it's flowed through to the database. And hopefully we're starting to get some telemetry data being sent back to Application Insights in order to do something with, maybe get some insights. So with that, I think I will just flip back over to the slides for a second. So I did say that we're going to quickly cover the plans. So by default, you'll deploy to a basic plan. Now, that's great when you're getting started, but there may be some things which cause you to want to use some of the enterprise features. The first thing I'd like to draw out is that by default, even the basic and the enterprise only retain the data for just 90 days. But what happens if you want it for longer? What happens if you want to build trend history over a longer period of time? You want to do some big data stuff? So that's when this continuous export is very handy. So you can then set up the ability to export all of that telemetry data into something like Blob Storage or into an Azure Storage account. and then you can get around that 90-day limit. The other thing is the integration to OMS. I'm having trouble with this pointer here. So OMS. So the OMS, I guess, is becoming a much more popular product in terms of gathering all of your different operational health diagnostics data across lots of different services. So you can now then connect to that and actually have some of your web applications, your APIs, feeding into that same suite. And the other thing to talk about here is every time you create what's called a web test, you have two types of web tests. The more advanced version is called a multi-step web test. Well, that costs you a bit of money too. But on the whole, it's actually pretty cheap. Any questions on the insight on the plans? No. So just to summarise what we've done so far, we've created we had a standard web API project with Entity Framework. We instrumented that, deployed it in, tested it out, and hopefully we've got some telemetry data going into Application Insights. So now here's the fun part, using Kusto. Okay. So first of all, I just want to show what it looks like in the Azure portal. I've got a resource group to kind of manage the stuff all within one unit. This is what effectively gets provisioned when you're creating a new instance of Application Insights. So I'll just click on that, if it lets me. And hopefully that you can see that. Let me know if the resolution's not good enough. But here's our kind of general portal for Application Insights. It's all within Azure, so it's really cool. You don't have to go out to all these other different weird tools and different authentications and stuff. But you get to see everything right in here. I'll call out a few little things. This application map is very nice. You need immediately start to look at what your application is doing. It kind of maps it out in terms of tiers. So here's my web tier over here. It's calling SQL. And then I can even start to look at, what's going on underneath in SQL. Over here, the availability, well, that's another interesting area of Application Insights. So you can actually create, as I mentioned before, web tests. I can do simple web tests, which is basically hitting a URL. And that will basically start to build up what we call an availability data set, which is it's a type of telemetry. And I'll get into the different telemetry types in a second. But it's kind of important. If you constantly know when your site is up or when it goes down, then that information might be good when you're trying to look at other data sets. So you had an exception. Okay, so you could correlate that particular exception had an impact on my site availability. And then so it's really the power of this tool is really about joining these different types of data sources and getting insights about your application, which are generally quite hard to find. But here it's showing me that I've got availability and it's hitting the site and it's going to SQL. The other thing to talk about here is the smart detection feature. And I think this is just the start of it, really. And this is a bunch of machine learning rules that are running in the background, and they're looking for anomalies and patterns. And these particular rules, I guess they're very common use cases. If your page load, look at the top one, if your page load time is kind of is pretty consistent and all of a sudden it slows down, well, you don't actually have to say, here is what I expect it to be, and when it gets over 2 seconds, I'd like you to tell me. And it kind of detects that anomaly and then sends you an alert. So just out of the box, I didn't have to set anything up, and those are already there. And what was also important was updating those NuGet packages, because using the version of SDK that I had, which I think was a fairly recent one, it didn't actually send the data to the live metric stream. So once I did, the reason I did that update was because I wanted to start showing that this live streaming is actually working. And is it working? I think it is. Yeah, so you can start to see. There's nothing really going on just yet. So here's availability. This is where I can create the particular web tests. I've actually got two set up already. So here's one that's actually pinging the live website. I'll go in there, and you can actually start to visually already see what's going on. So you can see that the average response time for calling that get product service is 646 milliseconds, and it's 957 times it's been called. As part of this, I can actually set it up to have five different regions actually call the service. So if for some reason one region is performing not very well, or you've got customers globally, and one particular country is always complaining about performance, but you can't see it, well, then you could kind of try and mimic that, and then obviously try and trace it back to something in your application or the way maybe you use your CDNs or whatever. But it's quite powerful. And at the same time, I'm building up that set of data to do stuff with. I'll just quickly go edit. I'll just show you those locations. So you can literally select any of the Azure regions. You can change the frequency. And then you could kind of set up your alert config there. So that's something I had to manually create. But I did that ahead of time so I could start to build up some data and we could actually see what the graphs actually look like. Whoops. So some other stuff to quickly show before I jump into the analytics is this, continuous export. So I've actually set this up. I've got this exporting to a particular storage account. And I will just show you what that looks like. So it's the latency on this thing is pretty good. It's a few minutes. So the moment the application's performing, doing actions, doing events, that's within 1 or 2 minutes, that's being streamed through to not only the analytics instance, the application insights instance, but also to the storage account. So you can see here, this is the storage account, and it's already starting to build up these kinds of data sets. I haven't really done very much. Probably the only one I've really manually created is the availability. And that was through the web test. So I actually do want to do one more thing. I actually forgot to do this just before. We've done our default kind of instrumentation, but I do want to get some more information. So what I'd like to do is I want to make sure my traces are coming through. So I have to actually add those trace statements in. But this is not specific to Application Insights. This is just your normal .NET tracing. So I've got a few of those. But what I also want to do is I want to start building up kind of a little bit of custom information inside of Application Insights. So, got a little bit of code here. And I'm hoping you can see this. But I particularly want to know when I've added a product. And I kind of want to know a little bit about that product too, right? So, the first thing I want to do is I want to track that particular event. So I'll just say, add product. So I know that has happened, and it's kind of more of it's a business event. I've added a product. But I may need more information than that. So I may want to track a metric associated with that event. So I could go, add product, and I actually want to capture that ID of that product. So I'm going to send in the product ID. Have I done wrong there? Track metric. I don't know. Let's give it a compile. Okay, it's fine. So I probably also want to do... I probably should just put that at the top. Like a good little programmer. And also put the same thing for here. So once I've actually... I'm going to say I'm actually updating the product. So I know how many times I've had these update calls versus adding a new product. So let me just compile that, rebuild it, redeploy it.
You've got an extra record on
Sorry? Yep. Oh, I see. Sorry? Oh, yes, I copied that, didn't I? Sorry about that. Thank you. I'm glad you're paying attention. That's good feedback. Now I'm going to publish it. So I'm hoping that data actually comes through. We did do the test before, so I might just quickly add a few more products so we can actually see some of those metrics coming through. Come on, here we go. Back to Swagger. And I might just click this a few times and go, hey, lots of people are getting products. And we're also adding a few new ones. So I think we're up to 3. And I'm just going to... these 4? Well, this code will actually take care of it. If you actually see, look in the back, it'll come through as... it should come through. Was there an error?
No, you updated by D3.
Oh, yes, sorry. You're right. So the code will check it. Sorry, it only creates a new one. It only auto increments if that ID doesn't already exist in the database. So, okay, you're right. So there you go. See. Let's go back to application and insights, and particularly the analytics piece. So... that's the storage account. Now I'm going to come back into here, back into the main console. Now there's probably not much else I want to quickly show you before I jump in there. So let's just jump in. And what you'll see, though, is that I'll just do a little bit of a tour of the interface itself. And so coming up, loading up on the left, what we call the telemetry types. So that's the types of data sets that are being sent to this instance and which you can use to query against or join or do stuff with. So you saw those trace.net traces, they'll be coming through here. That particular, when we said track event, well, that gets captured in this custom events telemetry type. Page view, so if you have like a web application with an actual UI, you might be interested in the page views. We're not really doing that here. Requests, so that's the HTTP requests. So that's going to give us all that information, and that's kind of what I'm interested in here. I want to look at the end-to-end time of these API calls. I want to just see how long is the whole call taking. And then dependencies. So let me just go in here. So the dependencies, that's really kind of, I think, where Application Insights comes into its own. Just the fact that I instrument it, it's now looking at those dependencies that I'm using underneath, in this particular instance, SQL, and getting some data about it. And I'm interested in how long is it taking to do a SQL query? How long does it take to just do a select statement? How long is it taking to do an insert statement? So that's kind of going to be interesting. Exceptions, obviously, if you've got a .NET exception, that'll be captured here. The one thing to note with exceptions is if you manage your exception in .NET nicely, it's not going to come through here. It's got to kind of bubble up. There's the availability set. So this one is the data set that's been built up using that web test. Custom metrics, well, that's when we said track metric. That's coming through in here. Performance counters, so just by instrumenting it, there's default performance counters, we're gathering data, and if you're interested in the underlying CPU or memory, etc., you can get access to it. Browser timings, well, we're not really going to be using that here. I guess it's more around your particular web apps with UIs. So that's all our telemetry on the side, and it's kind of good. Straight off the bat, I can click on a bunch of the stuff and look at, get some queries right off the bat, some common queries potentially, you might say. But I actually like to start off and start looking at the actual language itself. So it's very easy, very easy. So let's just start off with our requests. So let's just take the top 100 requests, and these are the HTTP requests. It's a pretty simple query. Immediately, we're getting some interesting data back. I can see, oh, this is that product we just had. Right? I can then scroll across and go, ooh, that took a little while. How can a simple insert take over 2 seconds? The other thing here is it does this nice stuff. It actually kind of groups those durations into performance buckets. So, if, you know, by default, it has 1 to 3 seconds, and you can see less than 250. And so we can start to maybe group on that kind of information if you wanted to. Some other things to call out here is the actual operation ID. So the operation ID would probably be a good way to uniquely identify that particular HTTP request and then trace that bit to other data sources. So in this instance, maybe my dependencies. So I want to kind of bring that dependency and that request information together. And you can see there's just a lot of data in here. I mean, the other obvious thing that this can be used for is usage or behavior usage of the API or the web app. How is it being used? Are they calling this API first then that? Is consumer one? Consumer one seems to be using the API just the way we designed it. Consumer two uses it in an interesting way. Do we adapt our API or do we kind of go and talk to consumer two and go, hey, can you use it like this? So you can start to get insights just about the usage of it as well. So let's have a look at some of the other data. Let's bring up dependencies. Give me the top 100. Let's do it another way. Let's do that. Is that query? So here we've really got only one dependency so far, and that's SQL. You can see that, that's the type. And what I'm kind of really interested in is how long did that particular SQL operation take? So the field I'm really interested in this is its duration. You can see some of them are really quick, others are slow for some reason. We need to get to the bottom of that. And you can see that there's a lot of similar data in this data set that you can see in the request. So I think we need to bring those two data sets together. But before we do that, let's have a look and see if our custom events has come through. I think there will only be a few of that. Oh, there you go. So 77, did I do 77? I can't remember. obviously. So as you can see, that's starting to come through. And again, it's got the same kind of data with like the operation ID in which I can use that to kind of join against other data sets. So I've got a kind of a pre-canned query here that I'm going to quickly use. Sorry. Let's just use this one for now. Let's just have a look at that query for a second. I'm doing a join of datasets, kind of like SQL. And you can even have different types of joins. So in this particular one, I'm doing an inner join because there may be more rows in the dependency dataset than there are in the HTTP request dataset. I'm using the operation ID to join these two datasets. And then I'm doing the usual stuff. I'm just ordering it. And then the project statement is the equivalent of like a select blah star type statement. I'm actually wanting those particular fields. And then I'm kind of filtering it down on the ones with put. So I don't want to focus on the gets. I want to focus on the calls which added or updated information. Probably the other thing to call out here is that I've actually been able to rename some of this stuff. So you can see there, I've renamed the column from duration 1 to request duration. And I've renamed this to SQL duration. So I can actually see side by side the HTTP request duration against the SQL duration. So that might tell us something. So let's run that query. Interesting. So what does it tell us? Maybe I'll zoom in. It's interesting. You look at the first two lines, same operation ID. So one call has actually got two SQL statements. Well, this is Entity Framework. It was actually checking the ID at the beginning. So it was doing it, even though it was an update or insert, it was checking if that existed. So that was the SQL select statement. And then it would go and do an insert. So if you look here, there's actually a pattern. You can actually see there's two lines per operation. And often you'll see a very quick SQL and a long SQL. And that long SQL actually is the insert. Now, I've just got to admit to something. I've put a trigger in to actually delay the insert by 2 seconds. Just to showcase this. But you can see immediately going, oh, God, that the overall request is 2 seconds, and look how much of that is SQL. I think we need to do something about that. So hopefully we can use this, and hopefully I'm showing that this is the way to bring data together, to get some insights, to bring potentially in complex web APIs where you have multiple dependencies, find that blocking piece of code. Do something about it. Okay, so let me, oh, actually, while I'm here, I do want to show you something else. I can take that and just here, I can start to, maybe if I can find the right visualization, start to look at some of this data. I might want to look at a particular operation. I can kind of visually start to maybe look at what's happening here. This is not really making a lot of sense for me. It's not Power BI. But how about we actually export it to Power BI? Oh, so there's an option for that. And it's really quite simple and easy. Let me just open up Power BI. I'll just copy that. And very, very quickly, I should be able to get access to that data we've just started collecting. And I'm going into the advanced editor here and just to copy the code that Application Insight so nicely just gave me. And done. And then I will need to authenticate, but I've probably authenticated previously, so it's going to be happy. Oh, all of a sudden, I've got access to that exact data set that we were looking at in Application Insights. Oh, so maybe I could probably actually better visualization there. I couldn't quite get it to work in Application Insights. So let me try and model this somehow. And I might use this kind of visualization. Check in the data. Put a timestamp in. Maybe I just want to do it. I don't want a hierarchy here. Oh, geez, already I've got all this data. Let me just narrow that down a little bit. So if I just, I'm just going to look at the last pieces, last few. And you can see that effectively the green area is the request duration and the SQL area is the portion of it which is actually, the black area is the portion that's calling SQL. So it's looking a bit up and down, but I can see that there's these huge spikes in SQL activities. So let me just get out of that. And I just really wanted to show that it's pretty easy to get some of this data get the right kind of data and pull it into Power BI and actually start doing stuff in case you needed to present that back to your team or to your manager if you needed some extra time to fix your code. So let me just flick back. So I gave you a bit of a tour of the Application Insights portal. We had a look about some of the queries. We looked at the telemetry types. And really the power of Application Insights is the telemetry types. And bringing that data and it's an extremely powerful language in which you can start to very, very quickly get insights from your data. We also found SQL insert was very, very slow. So can we do something about it? I'm hoping so. And here's just a quick list of those application insights. Sorry, the telemetry types again. I won't really go into them. I think we went into them in some detail there. This is what some basic queries look like in the language. You can see that you can create some very easy stuff to get access, but then you can start getting quite complex if you need to. It's quite powerful. And here's, I think, the query that we actually used. So before I jump in and kind of try and fix the bug or the issue, the blocking code, any questions so far? Not really. Yeah. Yep, yep. Yeah.
Just that join, is that there's a way to sort of map that operation ID if it was a different column on the other table? You want it to join on a different name?
Oh, good question. I assume so. I haven't done that, but because usually the operation ID seems to be in all the data sets. But yeah, good question. Yeah, no, it was just when we joined the data sets that it because it's the second duration, it just came with a one. Yeah. Yeah. All right, good questions. Anything else? Anyone else? No. Okay. Let's try and fix this code. Back in here. So let's just jump back into Visual Studio. And let's try and look at this offending code. It's obviously the insert. Well, we think it is. Let's have a look. Where are we? I think this might be the problem here. And I guess, I've got a little bit of a background in any framework, and I know that this is potentially a synchronous function that will return only once all of the SQL operations are completed. So because this is the thing that is creating that whole 2 seconds, let's find a way around it. Let's turn this into unblocking code and let's make it async. Cool. Okay. Rebuild. That was pretty quick. Publish it, and I think we probably need to give it a few more little tests to see if we've found the problem. Obviously, it's taking a little while because it's been redeployed. So I'm going to go straight into, I like to press the get first because it'll just warm it up. There we go. So, thank you. Thank you, whoever did that. Trying to trick me. Did you notice that? Yes, it is not secure. Let's add a few more in. 7, 7. Oops, let's go 8 now. 8, 8, 8. 8, 8, 8. Good luck. And hopefully they're coming back now. So let's just see if they're coming back in the response too. There you go. So hopefully now we're gathering some data about hopefully a better performing SQL insert. So it does take about 1 to 2 minutes or so for it to come through. So I'll probably just use this as an opportunity to take any more questions. Yes? Yeah, good question. So I guess what you're saying is if there's like a service reference or something else, some other dependency. I think it does is the answer. And I know that generally speaking, it'll automatically come through, but sometimes I've had to do some extra config to get it working. And I know that in the past, the product has changed a fair bit. So as the product's improving, more and more of these dependencies are automatically gathered and flowing in. So that problem is becoming less and less. Any other questions? Yeah.
What was the significance of updating that new dev package?
The only reason why I did it was because that live streaming. So I'll just jump back for a second. I was already there, wasn't I? So if I just jump back into here, so this live streaming wasn't really working with the old packages. So I'd had to update them in order for that to work properly. Any other questions? Trying to give it as much time for the data to flow through. No. Okay, let's see if something's coming through. So I'm going to go back to here. So this is our data set here before. We entered these in just now, if I'm not wrong. And it looks like it's... well, there you go. So the SQL query... What does this really tell us? Anyone? Yep. That's right. So we didn't actually improve the SQL duration here, did we? But we did improve the overall duration of the HTTP request. So sometimes, and I think I'd liken this to a situation where, and I know we've been in this before, where we have an on-premise SQL server, pretty slow, a lot on it, and we need to create a nice snappy API in front of it. And so to get that snappiness, we might need to do a few async operations and handle that in the back end. And so this is kind of a great way to create a nice snappy API in front of potentially a not-so-performing resource. So immediately we've seen an improvement, especially here. You can see this is what it kind of used to look like when we had a 2 second. Now that 2 second duration is not pushing out that HTTP request. Yay. There we go. Let's just flick back to the slides. So I think hopefully that was pretty clear. I mean, this is pretty simple stuff, but it's just showing you a process of instrumenting your code, deploying it, testing it, seeing where there's problems, and then kind of iteratively working through those issues and quickly getting the biggest bang for your buck in terms of finding those big performance issues in your code fast, because there may be quite a lot, but you go, yes, no, if we target that one first, we're going to get the biggest impact overall, and then quickly deploying that out and seeing if that actually worked, and then going through that cycle again. I'd also like to say that there's actually pretty good integration with VSTS. I keep on wanting to say VSO, Visual Studio Team Services, and you can actually use Visual Studio Team Services load testing features and actually have that create really, really nice data sets. So you can then perform your, the ability to, you might create a load test to really just see where is your interface going to fail, and run that and then pinpoint the exact moment when this thing failed and correlate that back to something. It could be, you know, a dependency that, that starts breaking. So that's really good, and I would definitely recommend using VSTS and joining that data in. Now, just a few other things on, I guess, some other areas of application insights. Personally, we don't our team at Interpret, we don't really use it on premise. It's really a cloud tool. I mean, it seems there's an agent for IIS, so you can put it in a VM. Web apps, I think it just works fairly seamlessly and easily. There is a Java SDK, so then you're getting support for Docker and some other stuff. There's some JavaScript snippets, so that therefore you could enable any kind of application really through the client side. And then you've got a bunch of CMSs, SharePoint, that could use that kind of model. I showed you how to export to Power BI, so I think that's really quite powerful in itself, just for showing and visualizing the impact of what you found and getting some buy-in potentially from your team. And then there's a REST API as well. So the REST API, let me actually just quickly show you what that looks like. It's not only does it show you what the API is, you can also always use it and query and kind of do similar functions through it. So let me go here. Sorry, where are we? So I have created a little key here in order to have like kind of a read-only access to this API. So you could potentially build whatever app you wanted to consume this data. Here's a particular API reference. And if I actually wanted to start calling it, well, I could. Let me just create another one. Demo. Whoops. Yep. Okay, so that was the key. There's the application ID, put it in there. And I kind of, let me just do account and requests, fetch. And you can see I can, I guess, start to do some kind of querying out of this. But I think just exposing that as a REST API is obviously quite powerful. Where is this going? It's a good question. What I've gathered is, this is obviously very powerful. And I think since the introduction of analytics, that Kusto into the application insights, you know, set of features, I think it's getting a lot more traction. But there's other products out there like OMS that's also gathering data and maybe ingesting data from more resources, obviously a lot of different resources within Azure itself. So the connector may be a key part of just getting your kind of your web APIs, your web applications, sending data to maybe an OMS overall solution. But key thing, really with Azure Functions, it's not really supported. I mean, obviously you can write .NET code to make some of this stuff work, but in terms of out-of-the-box support, it's not quite there yet. Azure Functions is in the pipeline, but it's not quite there yet. You will be able to have, off those queries, create alerts, which will be quite powerful. And then obviously what they're planning to do is get it running for Service Fabric and potentially have integration with Jira. Oh, I didn't really talk about the integration in terms of creating work items within VSTS, but there's that as well. And I guess the other really powerful feature is, say you're working on an application and you've got release cycles, well, you can publish annotations with that release so that when you're looking at the behavior of the application over time, you go, oh, release 2, oh, we seem to have a better performance impact on an existing function, but that new function we introduced needs a bit of work. So you can correlate your behavior, the telemetry data, with potential releases in Visual Studio, which is also really good. Probably personally, there's no plan for Logic Apps just yet. I'm an integration guy, and I was hoping to see something out of Logic Apps, but I think Logic Apps might be going down a different path through OMS, and Service Bus. Don't know what's going on there, but I'm hoping that there's obviously a lot more support, and maybe these configuration-based tools may not be going down this path, because this is more of a software developer's type tool set. So hopefully this makes sense. It's really important to have the right tools in order to support you building the business code. You want to spend your time writing the code that makes a difference to your business and to your projects, and building telemetry platforms from the ground up, you probably don't need to do so much anymore. The tools are pretty good now. I won't go through these resources, but I think you can download these slides afterwards. There's a whole bunch of good stuff here. And I would like to say thank you very much. And come to my next session, which is tomorrow, if you're really interested in integration and new ways of doing cloud integration, and enabling that for potentially small businesses who need to get online very, very fast. I'll take a few questions.
How does the web API request get linked to the database request?
How does the web API... How does it? Through the operation ID column.
So is that what it's passing into, or like header information or something?
The header? No. It's on the back end, so it's in the .NET code. So it's actually not part of the actual HTTP request itself. Yeah. So the moment it hits your code, Application Insights will generate an ID, and then all telemetry that operation ID will flow through on. It's not really passing that around. It's kind of controlling it within the .NET stack.
Yep.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
So does it automatically send something to the database?